Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to Talk Straight. We're trying to get through this little technical difficulty here. We're starting off on 2019, and we do want to start off right. Let me do a check here. Do we have Miss Kelly in with us? Can you hear Kelly?
Yes. Yes.
Great. Okay. Hold tight right there. Hold tight right there. All right. Again, welcome, listening audience. You're tuned in to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we are back in 2019. Let me start by saying Happy New Year to each and every one of you. And we do have a special guest here. We were trying to get through a little hiccup there. I think we're there now. And our special guest is out of New Orleans, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But I do want, again, on behalf of Iwala, our faithful co-host, to thank you all for last year and the year before. And those of you that are joining back with us, either here on live stream on Facebook or you're following us on the Blog Talk platform for Talk Straight. Again, we're grateful that you have been a part of our dialogue and that's brought us to where we are today. And as I said, we have a special guest here. And you may have seen that in our promotion on Facebook as well. We're happy to introduce her just a little bit, but I do have a monologue. For those of you that are just tuning in, Talk Straight is a national dialogue that's fostered by Building Families and Communities Institute. And for the last few years, we've been fortunate to engage a national audience throughout urban America about issues facing urban American youth in particular. And we're consistent with that. We're continuing that now. So, again, we welcome you to call. The number here is 657-383-0944. That's the number in the studio, 657-383-0944. You no doubt heard our intro with the commercial where our website is bfcinstitute.com. And that stands for, again, Building Families and Communities. Alrighty. During 2019, we aim to spotlight urban American cities and people who are actively engaged to make it. And that brings us to our guest. But let me just say, if you have an idea and you wish to share with us, you're listening now, you can go to bfcinstitute.com. at gmail.com and send me an email and communicate with us. We'll be happy to speak with you and to see if we can't plan a show with you sharing your good ideas. That's what we really want to do, is to spotlight positive, proactive things that are making a difference throughout urban America. Okay? So, again, that email is bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Bravo Fox Charlie, bfcinstitute@gmail.com. All right. Having said that, we want to thank you again for joining us here on this Tuesday, January the 8th, 2019. Happy New Year. Pastor Wallace here, he'll be able to share that as well, that sentiment as well. All right. Tonight, our special guest is Miss Kelly Abney, also known to her fans in the New Orleans area and abroad as DJ Kelly Fresh. She is a podcast host, and we're going to talk a little bit more to her about that. Let me not get ahead of myself. Let's get this little monologue through, and then we'll come back in. I'm excited to have her tonight, and I believe she will be able to help us to intimate some things that are going on in that particular area, which happens to be one of our target areas. All righty. Having said all of that, again, we're going to keep it moving here. We want to talk from the topic, who dat? And this is a conversation, as I said earlier, with DJ Kelly Fresh of New Orleans, Louisiana. Who dat? Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, 10th verse and 11th verse says, "For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think to you toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." In other words, our Creator, our Father, has something in store for us. In 2019, I know many people have made New Year's resolutions, but guess what? There's something intended for you. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to get mine. I got to have mine. Give me mine. The phrase, who dat, dates back to July 30th, 1852, in a New Orleans Daily Picayune article. That phrase, who dat, appeared. It was used by minstrels in their shows. And you know, minstrels were black people who were chucking and jabbing, buck dancing, and entertaining, you understand? And in addition to these minstrel shows, the vaudeville acts in the late 1900s and the 1920s also incorporated. Eventually, they started using it in the big jazz band. Who that? Who that? Who that? Okay? A common line in the days of the Negro minstrels was, who that? Answered by, who that? Say, who that? And he had many people saying the same thing at the same time. And what was interesting is that naturally, blacks were able to change people's lives, uplift them. Now, some people, I know where they would just act their buck dance, and they were acting a fool and clowning and embarrassing themselves. Well, the truth of the matter is, as we can see in New Orleans, this is a vital part of their rich history. Just as in America, the place, appearance of Negro, black, colored, Afro-American, African-American people is a vital part of American history. You can't tell it right without sharing their story. Well, the question becomes in 2019, how is it that we are still plagued by so many social ills and social economic factors and pressures and weights, and more importantly, How do we move forward? How do we move forward? The good news is there is hope. Building Families and Communities Institute hope that we are able to do just that. Our guest is going to help us. Now, let me say this before I bring my guest on. I've been trying to fix my mind, because some of you may know that I'm a candidate a few times for public office unsuccessfully in terms of getting into public office. But that never have stopped me from being an advocate for people and serving. And there are times where, quite frankly, you say you want to let them go and you just forget about it. It ain't even worth it. Ain't no need to even fool with it. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, Teddy Pendergrass, the late Teddy Pendergrass, he probably can say it a little bit better than I can. Listen to how he phrased it. Sometimes I tell myself I want to let it go, but somehow I just can't because there are too many people and die in it. This is what Pat Petty thinks.
Control the love, cause a little trouble is the time that will change your mind. Take your love and do all the things that you tell
me. Man, you know what I'm saying?
Trying to hold on.
Trying to hold on.
It's just another way.
Guess what? No, Daddy, I can't let him go. I love him too much, man. I got to keep on keeping on pushing for our people. That's what we got to do, Daddy. Even though it's rough sometimes, and sometimes the very ones you want to help, it looks like they don't appreciate it. But yet we press on. We got to. That brings us to, again, tonight. Let me just say hello to Pastor Ricky Waller. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. How you doing there, Pastor Doctor?
Mighty fine. We are honored, Pastor, in 2019 to have as our first guest Miss DJ Kelly Fresh, a.k.a. Kelly Abney. And she's a mother.
Oh, yeah.
She is a radio host. And she's going to tell us about that in just a second. A community advocate in New Orleans area. And she's an artist. All those things packed in one. Sweet lady. And let me, Pastor, take a moment to say welcome to our guest tonight, none other than Ms. Kelly Abney, a.k.a. DJ Kelly Fresh. Welcome to Talk Straight.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I love your show. It's always
hard-hitting
topics.
All right. Thanks for being here with us tonight. We appreciate you. Tell us a little bit about your work and tell us about your show. And for our listening audience, both on Facebook and on the podcast here, let us know how they want to tune in to you, if they can, the times and so forth.
Okay, so I actually don't have a show on there, but I have a radio station called Let's Live Radio. And you listen by going to letsliveradio.com, letsliveradio.com.
Okay.
And it's all genres of movie music. And we have two shows on there. One is called Wake Up to Morning Inspirations with Rochelle Lewis of New Orleans. And another one is Your Power is On, which does have me on it. Me and my mom do that show together.
Okay.
And they're both inspirational.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. We appreciate that. And so we're tonight talking about Who Dat, and we use that because that's a very popular phrase associated with New Orleans, Louisiana. And that's where we want to focus.
Yeah, thank you for telling me the
history. We want to focus our conversation tonight because part of what Pastor Waller and I have been doing on air and here locally is trying to make a difference for those who we know are struggling socially and economically. And we've looked at several cities outside of Nashville. New Orleans is one of them. And so we really want to kind of talk to you from that position there. Tell us a little about New Orleans. What kind of programs are there for young people who may drop out of school, young people who struggle to find identity, and those who are at risk to incarceration and their untimely death and so forth?
Well, I know in New Orleans, I don't know if this is everywhere, but in a lot of the high schools and alternative schools in New Orleans, there's a program that you could go to half of the day for to be a nursing aide. It depends on what school you go to, or you could be, some of them have barber. You can learn how to do that half of the day. So by the time you graduate, you have a trade that you can go back to. Now, as far as if you drop out of high school, then you would just have to get your GED and stuff. But I'm sure there are programs that help tutor you to get back into the system. I know the school system has a, you know, average, a C average, so it's not great, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, I got you. And, you know, we don't want to beat up the school system, but what we found is that too often there are well-meaning people. We fall short, and I wonder if that's, Kelly, because we have to change our focus in the way we do things. You know, you understand what I'm saying? We mean well.
Yeah.
But we're not quite meeting the mark. I know, and you're right, you got to see average. And when you look at New Orleans compared to other states, Tennessee is one of those states that have some issues in terms of our public school base. And, again, our intention is not to beat up teachers. We want to see how we can make a difference here. What is it, do you think, do you see? And I know I believe I'm pronouncing this right, the Treme, did I say it right?
Yeah.
I know you're correct. Okay, the Treme area. Okay.
Yes.
That's the area that we talked about. We looked at indicators of crime. We looked at things such as the poverty rate. We looked at those people that come from there in a certain age group and things of that nature. But you were telling me about East New Orleans and how after Katrina, a lot of the population shift. Talk to me a little bit about that and how those things affect that group of people.
So I'm 30, about to be 31 years old. And when I was a child, the New Orleans East area was a very good area that was mainly black. And it was black people who were doing well for themselves, not, you know, rich, but doing well, like upper middle class or middle class. Now, after Katrina, a lot of those people didn't rebuild, and so there are vacant houses all over New Orleans East. A lot of the businesses didn't come back. We used to have a mall, so now there's not a mall. And so now we see, like, a lot more crime in New Orleans East than we did before. And if you look on the news, it's mainly the bad things are mainly about New Orleans East. But then another thing is that New Orleans East is so big, but when you talk about other areas in New Orleans, you don't say New Orleans South, New Orleans, well, they do have us. But it's like they aren't capturing it. Like, we have more crime in New Orleans East because it's just a bigger range. You see what I'm saying? Like, they have different areas in other parts of the city where they'll say in the Gentilly area. But in New Orleans East, it's just like New Orleans East. It's a very big range. So even places that I wouldn't consider New Orleans East are considered New Orleans East when they talk about the crime. But, yeah, it's basically way worse than it used to be.
Okay. Let me pause. We have some callers that joined us. 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. My good friend out of Nashville, Tennessee, Brother Al Cass. Welcome to Talk Straight, guys. Happy New Year's to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. Our guest tonight is DJ Kelly Fresh. She has a radio show in New Orleans, which is one of our target cities. And we're really trying to spotlight Outkast and Mama D, some positive things that we see. Now, Outkast, I'm going to ask you a question in a second about some current events right here in Nashville that I think correlate to New Orleans. But what we hope to do in 19 is to, in addition to bringing our seminar and our lecture and our crime intervention piece to these targeted cities, New Orleans being one of them, we hope to spotlight some good things that are going on and see where we can build on them. And I think that would be a very good use of our time. But so Alcaz, I wanted to ask you, I'm sure you saw where the young lady, Miss Brown, was given clemency the other day by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, you know, I had a conversation with some people or two, and it was interesting because the question is, when do we stop? Aren't there other people who believe they deserve clemency or their family members to be let out early? And when do we, I mean, what do you think about that, Outcast? Because in New Orleans, I think Kelly will tell you that there are people there that get caught up in the system, and they had bad times
right.
in their life. She just described New Orleans. I mean, Hurricane Katrina, it messed up a lot of people and shift the whole population. Do you think that a precedent is set that may be troubling down the road? Okay.
Most certainly, you know, but I look at the young lady, you know, she was in that prison system for 15 years.
Right.
She started educating herself. This is something that a lot of inmates don't do when they're incarcerated. There have been a lot of incidences to where that young guys that went up to the parole board and they tell them, well, you get your DED, you come back, we'll release you. They say, man, I'm
right.
not going to school. And they're going on back and start shooting the crap, you know, talking to Bobo, and that's it. Yes, that has set a precedent, and the thing is it is, you know, as you stated, you know, there are a lot of people and their family members feel that other, you know, their children along with other children should be granted the same, you know, thing that she was granted. But sex trafficking has been a very hot issue. And you know, you
Absolutely.
Had politicians running on that same stand, you know, talking about
sure.
sex trafficking and things of that nature, you know. But
sure.
yes,
yeah.
they're going to let a whole lot of real killers out now because they're going to follow precedent because they were 15 and 14 years old when they committed the crime that they committed. So we'll
right.
see. You
right.
know, but
and
you know, I take.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I apologize.
Again, I took my hat off to her, you know. From what I understand, she was about the critics from receiving a bachelor's degree, which that's fantastic. What she paid for that herself, because here in the state of Tennessee, as you know, they stopped prisoners from attending college in prison. So, you know, again, I take my hat off to her, you know, concerning that. A gigantic step.
Yeah.
And that was one of the main things that, you know, helped set her free. Now, what about all
That's
these
true.
Other youngsters that they locked up at 16 and 15 and things of that nature? What have they been doing with their time?
That's
so, therefore, when they do ask for clemency or something of that nature, you know, they are looking and saying, well, this individual has not did anything to rehabilitate himself or herself. So hats off
right.
to that. But, yeah, that's said precedence. And I hope.
Yeah, maybe she can be a model then for other young people in terms of how to best use their time while they're locked up. You know what I mean?
In her situation, you know, the best thing for her to do is stay out of the limelight, stay out of it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
The truth. That's,
you know, just,
that is
you know, you know, stay out of the limelight. You know, go on and try to change your name, I mean, if possible, and you know, or something, you know. I mean, because
sure.
I mean that situation within itself, you know, it's really not healthy, you know. And,
that's true.
I hope.
Okay. Mama D, you want to comment on that? Are you familiar with what we talk about, Mama D?
Somewhat. I read a little bit about it. However,
okay.
I'm not gonna comment it on because you know I don't have full knowledge of all of it.
I
just
see,
listen.
I see. Okay. Let me go back to our guest, who is Ms. DJ Kelly Fresh. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk Straight. Happy New Year's. Pastor Ricky Wallace on with us, our good friend and co-host. And we are talking, the topic is who that. And it's a phrase that was dated back to 1852 in New Orleans, basically. And some people use it, and they say that it was black folks bucking and clowning and what have you, entertaining. But it has become a very popular phrase associated with New Orleans and their team now, the New Orleans Saints. That's their chant at the games and what have you. But many people are known because of that. But I use that phrase, who that, because I want to talk I do want to ask that question. So, Kelly, when it comes to mm-hmm. New Orleans, and you see them on First 48 all the time, First 48,
yeah.
And our people killing one another like crazy. Who that? Who that doing that? Why are they doing that?
So, yeah, it's so hard to see with New Orleans because we don't have a gang problem in New Orleans. It's not a real big thing to be a part of a gang.
I see.
And so most of the things that you see are motivated by individual for individual reasons. So, like, if you look at some other areas who have the same about the same population and about the same poverty level, we still have more murders than them. And it's hard to know why. I know a real big murder that happened with the football player Will Smith in New Orleans. The man who was convicted for it went to high school with me. And he was a football star. He was the star of the football team.
Wow.
And he had a lot of promise. And it was what happened with them was very individual, and it could have happened anywhere. It was individual. It's you and me, and this is what we're doing right now. You know, and it wasn't motivated by money per se. It was basically just pride. Pride is what I think it comes down to.
I see. You know, and that's interesting. When you get a lot of poor people together and one gets madder than the other, Pastor Waller, you got trauma, don't you?
Are you
there? Yeah, I was talking to Pastor Waller. Maybe he'll come back in with us then. I'll go back to you, Kelly. I guess when you get people under dire circumstances and everybody's frustrated, they take their frustration out on one another. Is that you think that may have something to do with it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then in this case, you know, Will Smith was rich and Cardell was not rich. And so that was a big thing that black people were talking about while the trial was going on. And they still have an appeal process. He's going through an appeal process right now, so there'll be another trial. But a lot of people were saying it's because he's rich and because Cardell is not is the reason why Cardell is being why they're making an example out of him. And I'm a strong agreeer with Outkast on a lot of your stuff because I do think it boils down to personal responsibility. It's not always the system against you. It's sometimes something that God is trying to tell you, and you have to work through it.
So wait a minute now. You're saying that I can't be a victim? I can't play the blame game? Wait a minute now. Hold on.
Not
is that
you
what you're saying?
Progress in life.
Wow.
Not if
okay.
you want to progress
okay.
in life and be all you can be.
You know, so how do you tell a young person then, 8112, who have missed out and they see everybody else living the proverbial American dream, and they seem to be the only one not happy? How do you tell them to be responsible and to do things in a certain manner? How do you do that?
Where I came from, you own up to your wrongdoing. And you be the best. You know how to be. Some people don't know how to do that per se. They know right from wrong, but they was not taught with the love, some of them. And some of them have been chose to do what they're doing. Some people just do what they're doing because they feel they can do it and get away with it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you do have some innocent children out here in this world and all over the world, many different nationalities, that has no choice. People say, you have a choice. No, some of them still to survive every day. Now, as far as killing someone, if it comes hands down, you or me, better you than I. But that is sad to have to say that for a child or about a child, but it's just the world we live in, 2019.
Yeah. What were you going to say there, DJ Kelly?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. When it comes down to the come down, if you have to, then it's better you than me. But if it's not that situation, then most of the time it's just pride. It's just, and then it's a split second decision that changes your entire life.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do believe that if you do you know, commit murder and then you go to prison, I do believe that God is always faithful. And so if you change on the inside, your outward circumstances will change.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the thing is, you know, how do you make a criminal? Put them in a dire situation and force them to essentially crawl and beg and struggle and then dangle success in front of somebody else's success in front of them and then see how they respond when you take it, snatch it away from them, you know? You know, we tell young people, Kelly, go to school, get an education. We tell them, do your best, right? And many of them do that. And that still doesn't seem to add up for them in the context of urban America. Because you go to school, somebody's going to make fun at you for wanting to act like you know something or you got a brain. You understand what I mean? Question becomes, how do we balance that? How do we balance that? And we keep ourselves in a situation where we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I guess y'all know it's time to get rid of that bathwater, right? So who's going to take the baby out?
Come a man one day, old woman.
Huh? Say that again now.
I said a baby one day has to grow up to become a man or a woman.
Wow. If we throw it out, it won't make it. If we throw it out, it won't make it. Okay.
Take you one way or the other.
That's the truth.
And I also say you said earlier the person that go ahead.
No. You go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, you said earlier, you know, the person that looks at someone else and be like, "How they get that? Why don't I have that?" You asking that shows that there's something inside of you that you need to work on. If you're not happy for other people's fortune, then there's a reason. That's probably the reason for your misfortune. You have to grow up to be happy for other people and not be jealous or envious of them.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Pastor Wall, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Would you care to comment on what we've been talking about?
Yeah, I think it's so much that society has to offer, both good and bad. And so it's just, how do you make a criminal is the question that you asked earlier. Before I go any further, I wanted to thank Sister for coming on.
Yes, sir.
And say hello to everyone that's tuned in. But
all right.
I just had a bell to go off when I heard that question asked. You take an innocent person that's young, and you set a trap for the innocent person. And inside the trap, you have to offer. And once a person gets captured into it, at that point, they become what you call a criminal. And they do things that a criminal-minded person would do. I'm talking about myself now. You know, I take that back to you're talking about the young, and as 8112 say, a young person have to grow up at some point. But I would ask the question, when did that person grow up? And for me, and I thank God for the sister that came on that's talking to us tonight, and she said what she does on the radio is inspirational. And I think we need more of them to be spread it around, because we get captured very early from being innocent to become criminal-minded, for the most part, for most to do. And it takes a person a mighty long time to get free from that. And what caused them to be that is the intent to capture the minds of the person who's young. And that has to be a wicked individual that would do that. But yet still, it paid big dividends for someone to become a criminal, to someone who's assisting the trap to make sure that they do become that. There's no way for them to escape that when they don't have the knowledge, as myself, as I did, and I didn't have the knowledge of that it was a trap. And so when I walked into it, it captured my mind. And for 20-plus years of my life, I didn't even know who I was. And that's the power of what it's like to become a criminal. So I just wanted to share that, and there's so many that's being done as we speak right now. for the lack of knowledge. You know, the Word of God says our people perish for the lack of knowledge. And, of course, I didn't have
That's
it.
Right.
There's so many
right,
today don't.
So, you know, that's interesting because I think, Kelly, there are a lot of, I'm not even talking about young people right now. I'm talking about people whose lives have been miserable and they've grown to be a certain age. And they kind of look back at the young people in a sense because they want, this sounds crazy, but they get some sort of enjoyment out of seeing them go through the same mess they went through. Does that make sense to you, Kelly?
Yeah. Explain that.
Well, so what happens is I never had nothing, right? And I had a hard time. And I had to do some things to make it, okay? And so some little shorty come up to me, and I see him, he's struggling. And I said, no, I want to see if he can make it through this. I ain't going to tell him how to get out. I ain't going to tell him how I got out. I just want to see how well he can make it through it. And if he can't, that's on him. Isn't that a strange dynamic there, Kelly?
Yeah, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, I never even thought about that. Yeah. That's horrible.
So how do we, if the old folk are not willing to modify our approach and how we deal with certain things in terms of engaging our young, honestly now, and that means to recognize, Pastor, where we went wrong. And that some of our example hasn't been the best for them, right? They say it takes a village to raise a child, but if the village is sick and coughing in the baby's face, you're going to make the baby sick. Is that right?
Yeah. And in New Orleans, it's a very, I would say, independent, kind of place. So there's no village raising children. You know, it's very, you know, just your family and your parents. That's it. If you have them.
Wow.
But
so no unity in the city? There's no Afro-American unity there? Kelly, there's no organizations that encourage African-American unity?
Oh, yeah, they do. But you have to search for it. You have to look for it. Like if you are just struggling and you don't know where to go and who to talk to, chances are somebody is not just going to come up to you and try to help you. Like, you have to search it out for yourself.
Okay.
Because people are so into what they have to do and what they have going on, whatever.
Okay. Part of the model that building family and communities brings is we are about coming to that area and not trying to suggest that we know best or better than the people that live there, but to get them to reflect on their experience and find out where their strengths are, build on those things locally, and really create the model from those experiences. Pastor Water is an author, and he wrote a book, Still High. And largely what he does is he placates off of the negative things that have brought him today, trying to be as positive and uplifting as he can. You know, I'm a firm believer that an outsider don't know your situation better than you do. Now, if they want to help you, though, if they want to help you, they have an opportunity to facilitate your change, to assist in the facilitation of your change. And so that's a part of it. It's interesting you say that.
That was great.
Apparently, you know, do you all have a local chapter of NAACP or Urban League and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we have a local chapter of the NAACP. I believe it's in Baton Rouge, though. Not in New Orleans.
Oh,
okay.
So it's not in the city itself.
There used to be someone who would come to all of the schools and call them the cry man because he would come there and he would make you cry. He would actually make you cry. Like he would make you look at yourself. And he had a hard life coming up. And so he would use his life as the jumping board for his speeches and everything. And this was talking to, you know, third, fourth, and fifth graders. And so if it had that kind of impact, then I don't see a speaker. There's no speaker, like, that's well-known that's going around to all of the schools that are, like, very impactful like that. If they had something where it was a seminar for adults that made them look on the inside of themselves, then see what they need to do to be able to be what they want to be, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. Wow. Now, so you say they used to. Is this gentleman not around? Is he not effective anymore? Or what's going on there with him?
I haven't heard much from him since high school. Like in high school, he didn't come. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he moved away or if he passed away or what.
Yeah.
But he was very well known.
So you know what happens, Kelly? There, and Pastor Waller will tell you this, oftentimes people have, they're very talented, right? And they start and do some good things, but because there's no continuity, tenure, or build on, and when that person leaves, something happens to them, all that they did, it's almost as if it didn't exist. And that's an interesting dynamic in the Afro-American experience. And one of the things I like to see is for every city that we're targeting, i.e. New Orleans, for us to be able to show the people that are there that you have value, you do matter, and here's how you can bring your best qualities out and sustain this for not only your present generation, but those to come. Doesn't that sound like an interesting opportunity there in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It
really does.
Okay. Because what I'm hearing her say, Pastor, is there have been some things that rouse your emotions and get you going, and then all of a sudden they just kind of fade away. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're hearing, Pastor?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like
okay.
Going to church and hearing a good sermon, and then after that, if you don't go back to church or if that pastor moves away or something, then you know, it's like you never heard it. But something that's continual, something that's, you know, there. Yeah.
Okay.
That was
okay.
Great.
Okay. What about that, Pastor Waller?
I think it's very interesting because when I shared earlier about the trap, you know, if a
mm-hmm.
person is not going to be trained up in the way of righteousness, he will be trained up otherwise. And the streets will train him.
Yeah.
It's either one or the other. There's no in between. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's funny that life is just that way. A person
mm-hmm.
is going to have to choose which side he's going to become affiliated with, whether it be out there in the streets or you go on further
okay.
into the school and do great things, which is available. But the high esteem and the power of the street life, it would attract even innocent young people a lot of times
mm-hmm.
to keep up with the Joneses. Like there's a certain style that's not only happening
mm-hmm.
in New Orleans, it's happening here in Nashville and in other places
right.
as well, because the power
right.
of the style, there's a unique style that young kids gravitate to. And they become the very thing that they are looking at or they are listening to and things like that
right.
And the places that they would go. It's amazing how generations after generation fall into that trap that I've been talking about here from the start, as I often talk about, because it's going on now
mm-hmm.
as we speak. And if a person
mm-hmm.
don't set the trap for people, they would teach them how to stay free from the trap. So they're going to do either one. And there are people that you may not even know that look like they're innocent, but they're setting the trap for innocent people. And you,
right.
you know, you might want to say, well, who's doing that? How could they do something like that? Because they're wicked. If they wasn't wicked, they would not do things like that. You find a certain neighborhood, a certain community, a certain location, and you put something out there that's going to trap them and make them think that they're having fun. And I only go back to say that because it happened to me and a bunch of my friends that I came up with. And it trickled down.
See.
And I'm watching it happen as it continues to unfold. So, yeah, it's a solution for it, without a doubt.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
the good news.
Okay.
There is a solution.
Yeah.
We just have to continue to reach out to those who are unfortunately being captured like that, and to try to get them information to them to let them know what they're getting into
And she said something that was awesome about the guy going around, and he was saying things to those kids that was at the age of apparently in the third and fourth grade. That fifth grade, could you imagine the enemy is sharing things with them right now that's taking their little mind and making them drift. And it's powerful. It's a sad situation, but it's being done intentionally. Yeah, it is. It's been done. They make big money off of that, off of doing kids like that. Big money.
Wow. Okay. Well, I want to thank a few people on Facebook that are following us here. I want to thank Brother Hardin, Brother Shelton, Brother Robson for following us there, and another gentleman here, Brother Miller. Thank you, guys. Feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Love to entertain your question or comment, my conversation. We are home with our special guest, DJ Kelly Fresh, out of New Orleans, Louisiana. And Sweet Soul, and she's on with us because we're hoping that we'll be able, Kelly, to come to New Orleans and fill that void, that gap that you're sharing with us now. So tell us a little bit about what sort of measures do you see in the city that are focused and deliberate black-on-black crime and the anger and the frustration you see in the streets there?
Yeah, so I know one organization is my mom's, Sally Ann Robbins of New Orleans. She has a mentorship program that has been going on for all of my life and probably before that. So it's basically it puts mentors into schools, and the mentors are not able to take the children out of the school or whatever, but they go and visit the children supposed to be, you know, very routinely, like every week, and follow them after they graduate and just be a resource for that child as they endeavor onto life and see if they're going to go to college, what college they're going to, all of that. As far as, like, black-on-black crime, what we have in place, from what I see, I don't see much in place for that. I see marches after something horrible has happened. You know, we do that all the time. But I don't see anything significant happening. And I don't know why they're not scared where I know about it.
I see. One of the things that Pastor Waller and I have been talking about is having honest discussions with people about how we can not wait until things happen, but we can prevent them from happening. So that takes intervention. You know, we didn't get here overnight. Is that right, 8112? We didn't get here overnight. Is that right?
Yes, and you're absolutely correct, Pastor, because it takes more than a day to tear things down and most things. It takes more than a day to rebuild it back up. You got to start from scratch.
That's right. And 8112 will tell you, we've been talking about this, sometimes it's better if you're not prepared to stay there and walk people through their struggle to leave them alone. They don't need you to come in and open up Pandora's box for them and just leave them.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
And they're no better for your engagement with them. So, and if you don't know what you're doing and you don't have the expertise, it's better that you just keep on walking.
Mm-hmm.
Where did I go wrong with that, anybody?
You didn't go wrong.
Come on, stop.
I don't think you went wrong with that, because that's true. A lot of times people intervene, and then they leave you holding the stick. They told you what to do, but they didn't show you what to do after the fact.
That's right.
You're worse off than you were before, because you had a little plan about yourself, or thought you did, or what you was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes along and intervene and tell you, well, you're not doing this right. Let me tell you how to do this. Some people need instruction and direction.
That's
you have to actually have hands-on. Not just tell them hands-on. Hands-on, touch it, feel it, mean it, show it.
Right, right. and they need a lot of encouragement, don't they?
Encouragement. It is so very important, especially these days with the kids that I've been around. Not all of them per se, but there's so many more that outweigh the ones that don't need it, which everybody needs it. I need help sometimes, encouragement.
Sure.
We all need it at times. So imagine a kid feeling lost within his own soul, and he's still an angel.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is we don't want to paint everybody with that broad brush. At the same time, we don't want to not be there and overlook anyone either. So that's
right.
Why it's so important that you allow people to tell you where they are and what they're in need of, as opposed to taking the position, I know what you need, you accept what I give you, and that's it.
Right.
Now, when you have an expertise in an area, it is important for people to recognize and respect that. But even an expert has to realize that there's an opportunity for you to learn, if there's nothing else, how to use your expertise in that particular setting. Kelly, tell me about, now you know, Kelly, that President Trump just signed the Second Chance Act, I believe it was called, where it's a criminal justice reform. Are you familiar with that at all?
No, not really.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
So last month, I believe it was, he signed off on it. And the interesting thing is there were two sides to the story. One side is you're going to let more people out of incarceration early. And, of course, if they don't have a serious or major crime, they qualify for it, early release and that sort of thing. But then the other piece is, if they come out, Kelly, and they go right back to the same triggering environment that got them locked up, have you done them a disservice?
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. What's going to be in place after that? And like Pastor was saying before, you know, this can, I mean, it would make more money for the city if they did go back, because that's more money for lawyers, more money for all the things that that they end up on after they go to prison or whatever. And so what's being put in place for them after their release?
Yeah.
What resources?
Now, I'll tell you what, as someone who have been engaged in the political arena as a candidate, you know, I've had the occasion or the opportunity, rather, to interview and to be briefed on a lot of policy-related things on the state level and a local level. It is important, Pastor Waller, that we are aware of certain laws and certain policies that directly affect us, you know? And that's the best way to stay out of that trap, is to know what's expected, how to avoid it. You know what I mean? And so it seems to me that's going to be important, that we teach, that people understand if they're not aware. And sometimes people are aware, they just don't care. But there are a lot of good people I find who just don't know that there are certain things that are expected of you, and if you keep yourself above suspicion, you ain't got to worry about the trap too much. What say you to that, Pastor Walker?
I mean, that's correct. I mean, that's exactly what's in need. You know, the solution is that there is one. I mean, could you imagine knowing that there's a solution that's laying on the table, and some people will walk right by it as if it doesn't have what it takes. You know,
wow.
You know, 8112 said it best. I mean, you tell people how to get free, and then leave them hanging once you tell them. I think that, you know, to me, you know, that is detrimental to a person who really don't know how to do it. And that's why it's good to leave them the instructions. And that's what this book is about. You know, if a person, you know, hear me speaking, I introduced them to a roadmap on how to go about doing it. Let them know that I've already paved the way. I know how to do it both ways. I know how to apply it according to the trap, because that was my innocence, and I got caught up in it. And then once I got free, now I've written a book concerning it.
Okay.
Since
okay.
the book been in existence, there are people that know about the book, but they still haven't purchased it. So that tells me right there that some may just not care. You know, or maybe they just don't have the $15. I mean, that right there, you know, but it's just that one may think it's not going to do any good. You know, there's a whole lot of scenarios there that may make them think that what good is this book going to do? Nobody's going to read this book. I've heard them say things like that. How do you know they're not going to read it? You didn't purchase it. You didn't give it to them. You understand that you just made mention that he has a book. That was done, of course, that's how we met. You and I was speaking about
that's right.
you know, that.
That's right.
And, you know, the very thing that they said is that, oh, nobody's going to read. How do you know they're not going to read it? You know what I mean? And if you purchase it and give it to them, they just may read it. You never know. And it has some profound good information in it that would teach you how to stay free, not just get free, but stay free. And I thought that was
sure.
interested in what she said because telling the person how to do something versus showing them. And that's what they
right.
need. They need somebody to lead and guide them. They got those innocent lions out there, man. And they're having a tough
yeah.
time. Yeah, very tough
you
time.
You know, I'm glad you said that because it's been my experience that a lot of times people don't have the confidence to get out of that dark corner that they've been in for so long. They've made themselves comfortable, and they found a way to cope with being in the corner. So when you tell them, come on, you come on in the light, you know, you cause some anxiety and some fear there. And the fear is, hold up, man. I done learned how to manage you. I got to move now?
Yeah, man.
That's amazing. That's an amazing dynamic. They know they need to move faster. And 8112 and Kelly, they know they got to go. You know, there's a leak in this old building. They sold it, got to move. But they scared. Well, 8112, how do you deal with a scared man? How do you deal with a man that's scared?
Wow. I probably stay away from him because he's that scared. He can't help me at all. But there's more than one way we can deal with fear. I don't know. I pray myself, and that's thanks to goodness true. Because
yeah.
fear is something that you may have within you of many things, and others don't understand it because they don't hold that within themselves.
Right.
And
right.
it is a medical condition. It's not a physical condition. I personally believe it is a mental condition which something has triggered within you to cause this problem.
Okay.
But the force behind it is so powerful, even though you try to contain it and maintain it,
mm-hmm.
it's not always mm-hmm. that simple for you
yeah.
as a person that's
yeah.
going through.
Okay.
Answer your question,
you know what?
I guess.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, you didn't. I'm listening.
All right. Well, you know, Pastor Waller and I have talked about this a lot. And sometimes people, Kelly, think we're beating up on the church. We both are pastors. We both are ministers and ordained and so forth and so on. But we also know that you cannot allow yourself to be locked, your ministry, to be locked behind four walls and inaccessible to those that need you the most. How about that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are, with the time, like, changing and everything, people are in the church, the pastors in the church, not you, of course, but a lot of pastors in the church are
no,
trying
well,
to keep
talk
up to
me
the
now.
Time.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep up with the times, and they're scared to offend people. But you have to be offended in order to grow.
Wow. Wait a minute now, Kelly. Wait a minute. You're talking about offending people now? Hold on, man. Wait a minute now. We can't have that now, can we? So you're saying that if I'm preaching and ain't nobody changing, everybody happy with doing what they're doing, even though I'm preaching, maybe I need to ask myself, what you preaching to them?
That's
Is
right.
that what you're saying, Kelly?
Yeah, there has to be some type of uncomfortability, you know, in order for people to change.
Mm.
I agree.
Mm. It's like a parent. You know, a parent doesn't always just say what their children want to hear. A parent says things that actually make their children cry sometimes because they want them to be the best.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 That's interesting. Y'all blowing my mind now, Pete. Y'all blowing my mind now. Let me, it's 8 o'clock. Let me just say to our listening audience and to our Facebook friends that, hey, Brother Patterson, how you doing? George, I'm sorry, Miss Patterson, I apologize. Don't whoop me, George.
Okay.
Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. I'd love to entertain your question and comment. We've added a little bit more time to the show, and we're going to try to have a little bit more time on the show that we have more time for dialogue, but that means we want you to give us a call right here in the studio. Yeah, I know you're watching this on live stream, but you can engage us and be a part of the live conversation by calling the platform here, 657-383-0944. And, guys, if I may take a moment of personal privilege, my baby girl was born on today 22 years ago. And I want to stop and say happy birthday to my daughter, Kayla. She's in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I told her I was going to give her a shout-out today, but she turned 22 today. And, you know, Pastor Wallace, she let me know how grown she is all the time.
Oh, my.
How about that,
oh,
man? How about that?
Yeah.
Happy birthday,
young lady.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So in this next segment here, Kelly, what I'd like to do is I want to pose a question to you, and let's kind of spin it off here. We got about another 35, 40 minutes or so before we wind down. And like I said, I've tried to add a little bit more time. And in this last segment, Pastor Wall, I'd like to give what we did in the past is we gave everybody, before we closed out the show, an opportunity to give a final word. But I'd like to get your feedback on what you've heard so far, because this is how I learn. You all are helping me, too. I want to get 8112. I want to get your feedback on what you've heard. And as well as you, Kelly, you are our guest tonight. By the way, if you're just tuning in, Ms. DJ Kelly Fresh out of New Orleans, Louisiana. What's the name of your talk show, Kelly?
It's letsliveradio.com. And the name of the show that I'm a
all
part
right.
of is called Your Power Is On.
The Power Is On. Letsliveradio.com. Your power. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And that's out of New Orleans, Louisiana. She's our
yes.
guest tonight. And we asked her, who that? We asked her, who that? And y'all, yeah. That's that phrase. Them crazy folk down there, down the dirty side, you understand? That's what they be saying. I did want to, Kelly, speak with you from the position of a mother, okay? And 8112, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You jump right on in here, darling.
Okay.
I have a guest that I'm trying to bring on who is a gynecologist in the Nashville area. Hope she was on my live TV show a couple of years ago, and I'm trying to get her on because we had a really, really good conversation about this. But I want to ask you and 8112, Kelly, about this because you're all the ladies, and I'm not picking on you just because you're ladies. And you understand what I'm saying. But I think you'll be able to start us and help us out here. As a mother, how important is it for you to be sensitive to the fact that a boy is likely to grow up at a certain period in their life where they are on a quest to prove their own dominance and your voice become less powerful or important to him? Do you understand my question?
I do, yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Kelly. Hit that, and then we'll go to 8112. Can you respond to that for me, please?
Yeah, I think the main thing that a boy needs from his mother is for his mother to, if the father isn't in the home, is for the mother to make sure that the father has a strong presence in that child's life. And if the father is in the home, the mother needs to make sure that the child knows that their father is respected, because when a boy looks at his father, he sees himself. So if a mother is saying to the father, "You are nothing," then the child is saying, "Well, I am nothing too, because I am my father." So I think that's like one of the most important things. And I have a son that from my first marriage, and then I have two kids with my husband now, Mario Abney. And so I see it from both sides. I had to make sure that that relationship with his father stayed strong throughout the separation. And then also, as my two little ones are growing up, I have to make sure that they know that their father is respected and loved. And, you know, we all mess up sometimes, but you just got to keep doing your best.
Sure. I'll explain to you why I asked that question. You want to take a stab at that 8112?
My opinion on it is, and I have five sons, mind you, at a certain age, it's very prevalent that at a certain age you have to release them from under your wing to a certain degree, because they become very rebellious going through that puberty, as they call it, state. They're changing from a boy to a man. And you being the single parent, if it's, that is the case, in the home as a mother, they do get to a point where they figure they're going to go get it and learn it for some of it for themselves, because they feel like they're the man of the household, especially the older ones. And now mom's telling them one thing, so they hide things from mom because they know she's going to tell them exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And then when she finds out they weren't doing that, they know there's a price if she set a price for them to pay for that.
Let me make sure I heard you right. Did you say they hide something from their mama?
Say what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, they might be like a few years old. Explain it to me. What they had? Why they
you had? Wait till you get older and they get grown, then they'll start putting all their little together. I remember when I was so and so age, I did this. You wasn't doing that. You was at home. Well, you thought I was there. Well, you didn't know nothing about it, really. And then they start telling you how you didn't know anything about it, and you figuring you right there with them outside of being at work, you know, or them being at school or something.
Right.
So, however, kids have their way of getting into things. That they could be in the house with you, and there still be some things that you may miss, especially with the boys.
Okay.
Girls are a little more timid. And, yes, it is very important for a male figure to be in their life. It doesn't necessarily have to be their blood-giving dad, but a positive role model as a male figure. And I've had a guy or two like that in my life, which were positive role model figures, which helped me along the way. And I wind up apologizing to my sons one day, the ones that are still living. And I said, you know what, maybe I didn't get some of it, because I am a mother and I am a woman. And men do, and young men and teenage guys, they do need a positive role model, preferably their dad if they got him in the house, or if he ain't in the house, he still could be that. However, it's so important that you never know how, unless they share with you how, as a young man, they feel and what they're going through out there in this cold, cold world.
Right,
and that's
right,
easy
right.
for some of them to go astray and get into trouble is what I'm saying.
Okay. Let me say hello to Ms. Collier, who's joining us via live stream. Ms. Patterson and Ms. Collier. Ladies, feel free to tap in, tune in, and 657, or just shoot us a question or comment on Facebook, 657-383-0944. The question was how, and we're talking from the topic Who Dat, and we're on with DJ Kelly Fresh out of New Orleans, Louisiana. The question that I just posed to the ladies was, how important is it to be sensitive to the fact that there's a point where if you're a single mother with a son, that your baby is subject to grow up and get to a point where your voice becomes less powerful or impactful for them? In other words, they're on some other little journey there. And so feel free to chime in on that question coming. And let me while you prepare yourself, Miss Collier, while you do that, let me tell you why I asked the question. There's a Kelly, you know this being in the music industry. There's a very popular artist out there by the name of Kendrick Lamar, and I'm going to share with you the clean version of his song entitled "Humble." Okay. And, you know, I had a conversation with some young cats recently about some of the substance of this. Let's just for a second, y'all bear with me for a second. Listen to what he says here.
Yeah. I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb allowances for Mr. London wasn't counted, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan with my account is precious, and I'm counting this. I say, with my groom, they take the Kool-Aid for the candle. Girl, let me fly away. Girl, with my paper. I know that it's good. I can't take it on my paper. I can't wait to get me. Once you have me, you'll be patient. I love for your blood and bring me down. You can't take it from. I am good to be a damn person. I'm full. Eat up your museum, you just had to hate them for. If I quit your BM, I still got my pennies wrong. If I quit the season, I still beat the greatest phone. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke put a baby in a spiral.
Okay. If you, it's hard to understand what he's saying. But if you take the time, you'll hear what he's saying is to the young lady. And maybe this is a message to all women. You should be humble because I got what you need, and I'm so successful. Now, this is a young man now. This is a young black male who is in the streets now and who feels as though the streets, Pastor Waller, have equipped them enough to where they're in control, right? So much so, you ain't much pop can tell me now because I got it. I done learned it. I, you know what I'm saying? I done been there. I done done that. That's the reason I asked the question, lady. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
With that being said, how did you bring that young man that's out there in the middle of the ocean, but he can't swim? He's the only one that don't know he can't swim. How you bring him back without drowning?
Well, I mean, that's the thing where if a person don't know, and then you have the knowledge, you can only reach out by way of what I was told. If a person is overtaken and don't have the knowledge, you who are spiritual should be the one that restore him in such a way to let him know that I've been there. I remember those times when I didn't even know. I thought I did, but I didn't. And that's the permission to say. Sound like that fresh saying that they say a lot of times. I've been there. You know, and, you know, if you take heed to that, I've been there, and you open up, then chances are you have something to work with. But if you go to tell him, you don't know what you're doing, you ought to stop doing what you're doing. But if you put yourself in that shoe and say, hey, I've been there, I wanted you. Didn't know any better.
Okay.
Now, I have the wounds to verify. And if that's enough time to encourage him, I think that's the key right there.
Yeah.
Now, what do you listen to?
I like the way you put that. Pastor, I like the way you put that. Because, by the way, Geraldine Collier says hello, Pastor Waller. He says hello, Gerald. Pastor, I like the way you put that because what happens too often is even older males, men have a tendency not to be sensitive either, ladies, to the fact that you got a naive, cocky young mind who thinks that they're in control, but they're not. And they have gotten so big they smell their own musk that mama can't tell them nothing no more. You understand what I'm saying? And the Bible said that a fool despises instruction. You understand what I mean? And The streets tell it. New Orleans, Chicago, Calumet City, Detroit, you know, all these areas that we've been talking, Nashville, Tennessee, all these areas we've been talking about, the streets have a tendency to give a young man this fake sense of security. You understand what I'm saying? And what he don't know is the little cat you run around with, they with you until trouble hits. As soon as trouble hits, they're going to drop you like a bad apple. Haven't got a witness somebody. Huh?
Yeah.
They put enough pressure. They'll rent you out. They put enough pressure. See, what happens is, in the streets, everybody are dumb and don't know nothing, and they all think that the other person knows something. So one's scared, and the other's glad he's scared. Help me, Holy Ghost. So, Pastor, what you're saying is, you have to come with that understanding, and you have to come with the patience and the care to say, listen, I know why you're here, and the truth of the matter is we can't get you out of here unless you accept certain things that's real. Because right now you're living in the fallacy. And there's some good people.
Yeah.
There's some very good people that are caught up in this trap, Pastor. And as we move forward in 2019, I would like to see the homicide rate diminish. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm just that I'm partial to anybody, but hey, how you doing, Miss Young? I want to see particularly African American males put themselves in a position where they can prosper and benefit from economic growth and development. And if they get a young girl pregnant, they can offer that young lady marriage, a family, and offer their children a structured life. Is there anything wrong with that, Ms. Kelly? Ain't that wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just me. Kelly, am I wrong for that?
No. No, that's true.
Is that politically incorrect? I mean, help me now.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay. What about that 8112? Can I get away with that?
I think you can to a certain degree. And the reason why I said that is because, as once again, I know they all need role models, male role model figures in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, so many of them just don't have that. They don't even have the mentors in school these days. Some of them just there to do their job and go home. And and after that, the problem becomes when they go home, so many go home, they're hungry. They only have. And then they're hungry. So they find themselves outside finding a way to get something for some of their siblings and themselves to eat. Well, we know a lot of times that take money unless you know somebody in the neighborhood maybe going to share with you.
Right.
Or you got a little
friend
or something, you can go to his or her mama's house and they'll feed you.
Right.
But
right. Okay.
And a lot of the boys take on the male figure role model and they're babies themselves and they just don't know how, but they had to come up with a plan.
Mm.
I watched the movie Cornbread in it. I just remember the name Cornbread. You kill Cornbread. I remember hearing that part. Mm-hmm. And the little boy, he had to fend for himself. It was so sad. I just had tears in my eyes because it can happen to any of us.
Sure it can.
Fortunately,
sure
it doesn't happen to all of us, but it happens to more than a lot of people even realize. And it's hurtful.
Right.
It's sad. And a lot of times those children, some of them get caught up. They go back to heaven. Some of them weather the storm and they're successful. And some of them have a big testimony, as Pastor Wallace, yourself, myself, to tell the world.
Right.
And
that's
what makes it all worthwhile, is when you have a testimony to share with others.
That's it. Let me share with you a comment from Facebook. I won't necessarily list the name. They can feel free to share more as they like. But she says that you're right. I have a hard-headed grandson that needs some guidance and structure because he thinks he knows it all. And the truth of the matter is that can be frustrating because, you know, you're going out of your way trying to to help them and trying to guide them, and they're not hearing anything. But what's important, remember we talked about that 6x6 room, Pastor Wiley, that dark room that mm-hmm. I invited people to go in, and you're in there with this young cat that's mad and ready to kill and tear up the rest of the world. The truth of the matter is, for all of us, we have moments where we become, we wonder if we can make it to the next day, right? But those of us that have successfully made it one day at a time, we know that it takes just one day at a time. And we got to come with that sort of frame of mind for these young guys. And that's one of the things I hope to do in our efforts to travel with our model, our crime intervention advocacy model in our seminar and lecture series, which is designed to help young guys understand that you're not the only one that have found yourself in this predicament. But the good news is, because Pastor Wallace made it out 40-some years ago, you can too.
Yes, sir.
You can too. Yes. You can too. Just because, Kelly, I'm fat-headed and good-looking, that don't mean it's over for me. Is that right, Kelly?
And it has to be the right time. Because I think Pastor said it earlier. That's how y'all met, by talking about your book. But I remember things that people told me a while back and I wasn't ready for. And then somebody says the same thing, and it's like, why didn't I think about this earlier? But the truth of the matter is, people do tell you things, but you just have to be in a state of mind to, receive it. You can read a book today, and if you're not ready for it, you're not going to receive it. Or somebody can tell you something, if you're not ready for it, you're not going to receive it.
Yeah. And the truth of the matter is that when we get to the end of the road, you got to ask yourself, have I done what I could, all I could have? Now, it's just because you don't do what the next man or woman does doesn't mean that you're a failure. The question is, have you done everything you can? You understand what I'm saying? And every little bit helps. And I think that's the most important lesson in a community, is to understand that nobody expects you to be Superman or Superwoman and have all the answers. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said Paul planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase, Pastor Wallace? Who gave the increase?
It was God who gave the increase, though.
Yes, sir. So the good news is that through our collective effort, we can be of use, we can be helpful, and we can change lives. We can change lives. I believe that that's perhaps the most powerful thing. Look, Miss Collins, she all on the thing, Pastor Wallace. She already answered. She said God gave the increase. I wish I had somebody to pray with me tonight. Well, I tell you the truth. we're going to – listen, let me stop here and turn the floor over to you. Hey, look at that. Miss Robert D. out of Florida, out of Jacksonville, Florida. Let me stop here for a second. This is a good point for me to hear from you guys before we – tell me what you're hearing tonight. And in your view, don't have to be anything – I'm not asking you to come up with no dissertation. How do you think we can take this information – starting 2019, and really embed this in those other urban areas. Thursday night, when we come back, I intend to outline all of our target cities. Now, we started with 10, Pastor, but now we're up to about 17 to 20 areas that we've been able to connect with and reach out with. So let's do that. Let's stop for a second. Take your time. Let me start with my guest, Ms. DJ Kelly Fresh, out of New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, what part of New Orleans are you in proper? Are you in East New Orleans, or what part?
Yeah, New Orleans East.
New Orleans East, okay. All right. So, Kelly, from what you've heard tonight, if you had to put together a suggestion, what would it be? Now, we're talking about We're talking about for at-risk youth in urban America. We want to stop them from dropping out of school. We want to stop them from winding up in jail. We want to stop them from killing or being killed in the street. We want to stop them from being so angry and frustrated. Based on what we talked about tonight, can you think of something you would put together for that?
Yeah, I think what was most impactful that I think would be a good suggestion is people being consistent with whoever they are mentoring or whatever program they're they're putting in place. Just being consistent and not leaving, because like you said, it could be more harmful for a child to, you start out with a child and then you stop. That's more harmful than, that's more harmful to them. Like you shouldn't have even started the mentorship if you were going to drop out. So just something,
right,
a program that's consistent.
What about 8112?
Well, I say, I used to tell my children, I go back to me because I can refer to me. The power of a very strong mind over matter thing is so important in my life because it keeps you grounded. And if you teach the children this, how to stay grounded, which is not an easy task all the time, mind you. But if you stay, as Ms. Kelly Fresh said, consistent with this, it will become instilled within their souls and their body. It will become a part of their daily living, like eating. And once they get that, then they got it, and they can share it amongst others and to others.
I see. Okay. Y'all help me out a lot, man. Y'all help me out a whole lot. I know Pastor Wallace has a construct because he does it every day and puts himself in harm's way as he does it. But, Pastor, can you help kind of solidify our conversation tonight a little bit, package it up for us?
Yeah, I would say I thank God for DJ Kelly Fresh and 8112, for those who was listening. But I would sum it up by way of saying keep God first, you know, because I wouldn't be able to go out into the real world unless I had his guide. You know, the word God says, whosoever trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walks wisely shall be delivered. Now, you find that in Proverbs 28:26. And the reason I'm saying that is because when God said go out into the world and preach the gospel, that means he said, Lord, I'll be with you. So I decided to follow his guide, and that's the reason why I believe keeping God first would make everything all right. Because he has tendency to give us some of that in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so that's why I believe keeping him first would make everything all right. Enjoy the show tonight. Pastor Doctor, keep doing what you're doing. And,
pray for us. Yes, sir.
That's it.
Well, I do want to say that we're going to, in 8112, she mentioned it all often, we need a little more time. And so what I tried to do is to add a few more minutes in. So if you guys have concepts and ideas that you want to share with us, if it's something that you, an experience you have, we want to leave room for you to do that and throughout 19 as much as we can. Because I believe that it's important that your experience be shared as well. Now, having said that, I'm hoping to be in a position to where when we're in a particular city, we can actually air from that city and we'll have hosts. And I mentioned to our guest tonight that we're working real hard to try to get our way to New Orleans, Louisiana. Listening to her conversation, that sounds like, Pastor Wilde, there's a tremendous opportunity to come there and to establish something that is long-lasting. What she said is that they don't really have structured games. But yet, the homicide rate and all those other indicators are very high for New Orleans. And it does beg the question, why is that? You know, we know that drugs and other types of illegal things are destroying our people, you know. And I even think, and I know you can relate to this, Pastor Wallace, I even think the drug man is really not happy with where he is. Oh, he got money. Come on, somebody. He got money, but he ain't happy.
Somebody, a young man shot a woman for over a movie. It was crazy. Over a movie is just senseless.
You know, you it begs the question, what's on his mind that you would put your desire for that material object over the value of a human life?
Yeah.
What's on your mind? You know? The good news is there's yet hope. Huh? I ain't come to preach, but I felt my up right there. Job said that if a tree is cut down by the roots, and dried up, that there's yet hope. That's the 14th chapter, Job says, that tree will have life again. And I'm holding fast to that. I just want to grab these young cats, throw your arms around there. Look here, boy, you ain't bad, you ugly. I love
it. Can I share something with you?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I seen this, and I don't do much Facebook. I just stroll through it, but I seen this little boy, so older guy, it kind of remind me of you guys, where y'all be talking. Pulled up in the car, and he asked the boy, what's wrong with you, son? Why you so angry all the time? He said, old school, I ain't angry about nothing. And then the man, to make a long story short, he asked him about if your mama and then he touched her, he hit the nail on the head because he fooled around and asked him about his grandmama. Probably the old story really was in his life. The boy broke down and started crying like a baby and ran off.
Wow.
So powerful. I got such a message from that video. It was very powerful because that's how a lot of them are out here today. When you say it's scared, there's been somebody, one person in their life that could bring tears to their eyes for what they're doing out there in this world.
Yeah. You know, I want to share with – let me share this right quick before we leave from Ms. Collier. She shared that the more money, the more problems. And that's the world's problem. That's an interesting thing to see. Is that the love for money and not humans. Now, she said something powerful right there. People are chasing money, and they're not chasing or they're not looking for human quality because they're more caught up in finding a quick fix and making a fast dollar. The Bible asks the question, Ms. Collier, what profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? All right. What about that? I mean, thank you. Great point. You know, at the end of the day, guys, and we're going to wrap up here in just a few minutes. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, if you cannot face the man or the woman in the mirror and say to yourself, that I gave my best, if I could just help somebody along the way, then my list, is not being no. Maybe I ain't got everything I want, but I just helped one somebody along the way. Then my list, not being bad.
You're helping me, but nobody else.
Let me give DJ Kelly an opportunity to give us a final thought. Tell us again how to reach that letslive.com. Tell us a little bit more. Give us the details there. And Kelly, pray for us that we can get that in New Orleans. And you'll give me some of that New Orleans gumbo too, won't you? Kelly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
will you make me some gumbo?
I don't even know how to make it.
All right, go ahead. All right, you got the floor there.
It's letsliveradio.com, and it's a
radio station that has all different genres of music, depending on what time you're listening. The schedule's on the website, and it's a couple of different talk shows on there that will inspire you. And, yeah. That's about, and you go by going to letsliveradio.com.
All right. Anything else you want to share with us? Thank you for being our guest tonight and kicking us off in 2019. Appreciate you giving us an idea about what's on the ground there in New Orleans. Our next guest, we hope I'm working on getting a council person out of Peoria. As soon as I can get feedback from them, we'll get them in the show here and have them to share with us a little bit. That's one of our target cities there. I'm sorry, Kelly, I cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just saying that would be very helpful if y'all came to New Orleans with that program. And final words would be, I'm learning myself listening to y'all because my oldest son is 10 years old. So he's getting to the age where, these things are important.
Sure.
Learning.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and do send my regards to your husband, talented musician himself. Off the chain. Mario Abney. All right, tell us a little bit about his angle and how to reach him on his some of his music there.
Right now, he's at Club Promontory in Chicago. You could go to MarioAbney.org, and you can listen to his music and see some of his live video performances. iTunes, Mario Abney, you could buy his singles. He's all around New Orleans performing, and he's in Chicago performing a lot, too. And he'll be in New York City on January 18th at Club Bonafide.
Okay. Incidentally, Pastor Wally, he came here and played for me for one of my campaigns at a campaign event. And great musician, good fellow. I encourage you to check him out. Well, you've been listening to Talk Straight, and we asked the question, who that was DJ Kelly Fresh, our guest of New Orleans, Louisiana. And this coming Thursday, look for us to explain in detail, Kelly, what it is we would bring to New Orleans, to you. The lecture piece and the crime intervention advocacy model that can be embedded and sustained in that area and the other cities that we targeted. If you follow us on Facebook Live, come back and join us again on Thursday night, this coming Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock p.m. Feel free to give us a call here and participate with us. We've integrated a little bit more time in just so that our callers can, and our regular listeners have an opportunity to share. And 8112, if you go find some stuff you want to talk about, it's going to be room. But how about that?
Thank you so much.
Yes,
I enjoy what I've been listening.
Well, wonderful. Wonderful. We appreciate that. We do appreciate that. And I'm going to listen. This is a fellow by the name of Brian Owens, Pastor Waller. And he and his daddy are sparring off with each other. And they're going at it, man. They're going at it. But it's a good thing. They're going at it, and this is what they say. Anybody been writing?
I saw that.
It's been a long,
long
time coming. But I know. I ain't gonna think I'm gonna let this thing change. Thank you all. You've been listening to our co-host, Dr. Ricky Waller, our guest out of New Orleans, Louisiana, DJ Jeffrey, born up again. Coming Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. For another episode of South Place, Reverend Dr. And we'll start off with that. Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you all on Thursday night for another episode of Talk Straight.
It's been a long time.
coming. But I know, a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it